Blackness, pearls of wisdom through the lens of Black culture. I am none other than your host, Caritza Moulton Jones. And today, we're going to talk about a sensitive issue. And disclaimer, before we get started, these are my thoughts and my thoughts alone. But I have to share these with you because I feel like the only way that we're going to ever see the change or be the change that we seek is if we do something about it. So today we're going to have a conversation about a sensitive issue, but a real issue that we have to talk about. We can't keep sweeping it under a rug. This week's episode is a two-part episode, and it's called Sign Black Girl Tired. I have a conversation that I want to share with my people in society that don't look like me. And then we'll follow up on next week's episode with a conversation with the people that look like me. So, here we go. Welcome to Black Girl Tired, episode 1, Dear White People. So, let's talk a little bit about my truth. My truth is, I am an African-American woman born and raised in a mid-sized southern town where pretty much people that look like me don't often get invited to a whole lot of tables. Now, I sit at several tables for a lot of reasons. One, I'm elected to a table that I sit at where I am the only person that looks like me. Yeah, I'm the only person of color that looks like me at a table that I sit at that makes major decisions about the children in the town where I live. Yeah, that's right. Now, I sit at several other tables, career-wise, where sometimes I'm the only person that looks like me in professional settings. Yep, once again, I said it. A lot of times I've been the only person that looks like me. Why am I saying that? Because it matters, and it shouldn't matter in 2020, because I shouldn't be the only person that looks like me at those tables. Now, my truth is, and I share this often with my friends, that I sit back and reflect on how often I have to be the silent Black girl so I'm not viewed as the angry Black woman. I'm gonna say that again. I often reflect on how I've had to be the silent Black girl so that I'm not viewed as the angry Black woman. I saw this on an Instagram post back in June, and it resonated so well with me because pretty much that's my day-to-day life in every realm that I become a part of. Why does this have to be the case? Why is this still the case in 2020? It shouldn't be that way. So let's talk a little bit about why I think that's the case. If you got your pearls in your hand, you may want to clutch them. But then again, this might not even pertain to you. Sit back and listen. What is white fragility? What is white privilege? Do they exist? Do they not exist? For the past few months, weeks, and even days, this has been the conversation that I have had with people who do not look like me, who do not understand what this means. So like I said, if you have your pearls in your hand, you may have to clutch them, you may not, because this might not apply to you. If you know what white fragility is and you know what white privilege is, you can release your pearls. But for those of you who are still struggling with what that means, let me get a couple of things out and make sure that they're clear. White fragility is real. White privilege is real. And they do exist. Just as oppression, both covert and overt, of people of color and populations that include people of color are real and exist. Sorry, that's just what it is. It is what it is, and for most people that look like me, we're exhausted. We're drained. We're tired of having to deal with it. We just want to be accepted for who we are as people. Now, shout out to The Conscious Kid, Courtney On Designs, and I Weigh for their Instagram post that I just have to share with you all, because guess what it's called? A Guide to White Privilege. I could not find it or say it any clearer than how they shared it in this 4-picture guide to what white privilege is. So, to all my friends who don't look like me, One, white privilege doesn't mean that your life hasn't been hard. It just means that the color of your skin or your skin tone isn't one of the things that makes it harder. Now, let me explain what that means. Everybody has hardships, no matter what race, creed, or color you are. Everybody has went through something. There are people that have socioeconomic disadvantages, lack of access to or mobility, educational hardships, economic hardships. You don't have to be a certain color to experience those things. But if you do experience them and you're not a person of color, oftentimes your skin tone allows that load and that weight to be a little bit lighter, sometimes a lot lighter, or sometimes not even a load at all. So once again, white privilege doesn't mean that your life hasn't been hard. It just means that the color of your skin is not one of the things making it harder for you. Now let's flip that. If you're a person of color, a true brown person, somebody with melanin in your skin, you can have those same hardships that I just described. But trust me, we all know that the color of our skin or our skin tone makes those obstacles even greater. And once again, it's draining, it's exhausting, and we're tired. Page number two of A Guide to White Privilege. White privilege does exist as a direct result of both enduring racism, biases, and practices designed to oppress people of color. Let me break that down for you. It exists because there are things that have been created and put in place to oppress people of color, to make it beneficial for those who are not people of color. I don't know how much more clear to get with that. It's systematic. It's systemic. And it's happened for years and years and years. And no matter how much people of color feel like we have arrived, we have not. We still struggle with the racism, the biases, and the practices designed to oppress us. Number three, white privilege means that you actively benefit from the oppression of people of color. Now, I have peers that don't look like me, who may not be proud of the fact that they've benefited from the oppression of people of color, but they're able to admit it. And you know what? I have to say that I can respect them for admitting that they have benefited from white privilege. I struggle with people who don't admit that benefit. And I struggle with people that look like me who don't believe that that's the case. Wake up, people. That's the case. Now, systemic racism exists at every level of society. If you don't believe me, check out The Trace of Upward Mobility, check out the wealth gap, check out educational deficits, employment, incarceration numbers, home ownership numbers, racial profiling and issues with the police, healthcare, maternal mortality, infant mortality, the list goes on and on. Systemic racism is real. It's real. And a lot of us engage in it. A lot of us are affected by it, and we don't even realize it because it's so deeply embedded and it has went on for so long that those who are creating these systems and don't want to change them or reduce the barriers get away with saying stuff like, well, that's just how we've always done it. Or they throw things at us like, well, what did you do not to get it? The system was never created for us to succeed. We just blow their minds when we do. Now, that was our pearl clutch moment. Sorry, I just had to say that because it's real. It's real. And in 2020, it's real. It's real because myself as a woman of color can be an elected official and call truth to power to a person who doesn't look like me and it's brushed under the rug. But if the roles were reversed, it'd still be a news story. That's systemic. It's real because people can purchase a home or get ready to sell a home. And if they remove any object that will make them be identified as a person of color, values and amounts change in the sale or the purchase. It's real when you go to purchase cars and people question what you do in your career. It's real when you walk in a store and before you can even get to the rack, somebody wants to help you, but somebody else who doesn't look like you walks in the store and is probably stealing everything off the rack and they don't even say anything. That's a benefit of white privilege. And we're tired. We're tired. And I don't know any other way to say this. Like, you have people who want to reach out to you and ask you all these questions, and they want us to educate them on what to do. And I don't know how to tell you or teach you as an adult social skills you should have learned as a child. Because right is right and wrong is wrong, and the color of your skin shouldn't matter. I don't know how to tell organizations and groups that I'm a part of why my child's life should matter as a little brown boy so that they can make a statement that Black lives matter. I shouldn't have to tell you why that matters, because a life matters. And yeah, I know what you're gonna say. All lives matter, right? You're right. All lives do matter. We all understand this. We, as people of color, all understand that all lives matter. What we want you all to understand is, right now, we're not talking about all lives, because all lives are not being endangered. All lives are not being taken away. All lives are not being profiled. All lives are not dealing with systemic racism. Black lives are. So when we say Black lives matter, and when people who don't look like us stand with us in saying that Black lives matter, it's because we're talking about Black lives right now. Black men and women are the ones who are losing their lives to the hands of unruly law enforcement officers. And we know that not all law enforcement officers are bad, because majority of our law enforcement officers want to protect and serve us. That's what they swear to do in office of police officer. But we know that they have some peers within their realm who don't take that oath seriously. So we know that all lives matter. We're just not talking about all lives right now. We're talking about Black lives, and we want you to understand that they matter. So in efforts to change the white supremacy, both overt and covert, that's going on in our world right now, in efforts to change the systemic racism and oppression that people of color have experienced and continue to experience, because people don't want to have the conversation because it's fragile for them, because their skin isn't melanated, let me share these tidbits of words or pearls of wisdom with you. Because you too are my brothers and my sisters. You're just not melanated. And I know that everyone doesn't believe in the things that people of color are experiencing. So for those of you who don't practice, exercise, or believe in the negative experiences that white supremacy and white privilege give to us as people of color, let me tell you some things you can do and some conversations that you can have with the people that look like you in efforts to be the change that you seek, since you truly believe that Black lives matter, and we all should be of privilege. So this is what you should do with your white privilege. Just a suggestion, keeping in mind, this is all how I feel, all my opinion, but I've just been asked several times, so I thought I'd put it out there. Number one, teach other Caucasians the barriers to the success of people of color. If you know what they are, educate them on them, because maybe, just maybe, they truly don't know what they are. It's a moment to educate. Two, promise to listen and amplify the voices of people of color. And when I say promise to listen and amplify the voices of people of color, Promise, but don't just promise. Keep your promise. And be more than just, oh, I'm not a racist. But be actively anti-racist. There's a difference. There's a big difference. Confront racial injustices, even when it's uncomfortable for you. So if you say you believe in what we're advocating for, that we matter as people of color and that systemic racism in our communities has to stop, then stand with us. Now, I'm going to throw these two bonus pearls in for you. They're for free. Quit saying you don't see color, because you do. Everybody sees color, unless you're colorblind or you're just visually blind. You can't say you see color, but then you're able to stop at a red light. You can't say that you don't see color, but you saw the bluebird land on the tree. You can't say that you don't see color and you see that the sun is shining. So quit saying that you don't see color. You have to be able to admit that you do see color in order to truly see the oppression and the white supremacy and the systematic racism that we as people of color face daily, especially if you're walking in the fight with us. And lastly, if you truly believe that these things are wrong that I've just talked about, and that you are not a proponent of racism, then you have to be willing to openly stand up against those systematic barriers. And you have to be able to openly stand up and out against them with us. You have to get uncomfortable with us. The time is now. Now remember, I know that all Caucasian people or people that are not persons of color do not participate in white supremacy and systematic racism. I know that there are some people and a lot of people who don't look like me who are just as angry as I am about everything that is happening to my community and all the injustices that we experience. And they're standing with us and they've agreed and they do walk the walk and talk the talk. So if you're one of those people, then this episode wasn't for you. But there is opportunity for you to take some of these pearls and share them with some of your peers who may not be where you are. I just had to take the time to relieve myself of the pressure and the exhaustion and the angst that I feel not only just every day living my life as a Black woman in America, as a mother of a Black son, a baby boy, and a high school senior, as the sister of a brown boy, or a brown man, I should say, as the wife of a Black man, and with millions of Black men and women that I love throughout this country, not only in my village, but abroad. I have to say that because every time I turn on the TV or the radio or I get online, I'm traumatized by another hashtag. I'm traumatized by another video. I'm traumatized by another news story or another governmental decision that affects me and my community. The trauma is real. The drama is always real, but the trauma is real. And it's years of it. And it continues every time that we see someone lose their life because of the color of their skin, or someone miss out on an opportunity because of their skin tone. And I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm drained. I just want better. So, dear white people, those in the fight, those who want to be in the fight and just haven't quite got there, or those who may not even understand that they need to join the fight. Please, please. Be the change that you seek to make a better society. Because at the end of the day, we all bleed the same color and we all love with a heart, which means we possess the same organ. And I hope that we possess the heart of inner man for all mankind. Today is the day that you make a change if you don't. And today is the day that you continue to stand and stand even harder if you do. I'm asking this of you. Signed, A Black Girl Tired.